Yo, what's up, Fanatics? Recording this on Wednesday afternoon, the 24th of July. Fall camp starts next week in football. I'm kind of riding solo here at the Cyclone Fanatic content office, at least. Stansberry is out in Oregon on vacation. Rob Gray will be heading out to Minnesota for a few days, I believe, on a family vacation. So I'm riding the ship alone. And keeping up with everything for you. We've got, so coming up later tonight, Bloom and I will be recording a new summer series, Sukup Manufacturing Summer Series. Right here, you've got the latest Old Man Game podcast. We'll do a Saturday podcast. I'm going to bring the interns in on Friday to record that. So we'll look forward to that. It's always interesting to see what intern Brandon has going on with his crazy college football mind. All of our podcasts right now are being broadcast in the Carl Chevrolet studio. So, of course, thank you to your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet. Hey, coming up on Friday and Saturday night, I'm fired up, getting ready for the Guthrie River Ruckus. I love this event. I've been out to it a couple times. Really looking forward to this weekend. I've already got my camping spot ready, although I don't think I can camp the whole time. I got a wife that's 9 months pregnant, so I got to be responsible. However, the camper is out there. My friends at Plaza RV got a camper out there for us, so thanks to Scott Edwards for that. But we be watching Diamond Rio, Kip Moore on Friday night, among others. I love Chris Cagle. He's one of my all-time favorite country artists, and he's going to be performing on Saturday night. Can't wait for that. If y'all are heading out to the Ruckus and you haven't bought your tickets yet, go online to the Guthrie River Ruckus website. Use a promo code Cyclones. It'll get you $15 off a ticket. It's a great offer through our partnership with the Guthrie River Ruckus. It's an awesome event. Get out there. Check it out. You will see Cyclone Fanatic logos and stuff all over the place out there. We're proud to be sponsoring that event with them. So thank you to the folks at the Guthrie River Ruckus. I also want to thank our friends from Iowa Pork, the Iowa Pork producers. They're coming on board for another year of sponsoring us here at CycloneFanatic.com. Appreciate that. And a quick shout out to our Cyclone Fanatic store, the Team Closet. .com/CycloneFanatic. We have all sorts of new gear. We're now selling officially Iowa State licensed gear. We've got black polos, which every time I wear my black polo that I got from my time at the Cyclone Radio Network, people are like, where'd you get that? Can't find it in stores. Well, now you can buy one. TeamCloset.com/CycloneFanatic. And I was pitching them today. We're going to have a full, like, a hunter's collection of Cyclone Fanatic gear. What do you think about that? Like camo? Like hunter orange? I think it'd be sweet. I like wearing that type of stuff. But check it out now. We have all sorts of new stuff, officially licensed Iowa State gear. And then, of course, the new Cyclone Fanatic gear. Got some pocket tees. They're really cool stuff. All right. Big weekend coming up in Ames with the Iowa State basketball reunion, the annual Steve Prohm deal that he's put together. I've caught up with main man George Niang. Let's bring him onto the podcast. All right, we got Niang now connected with him. He's getting ready to fly to Iowa tomorrow. You're in Los Angeles. Is that correct, George?
Yes. La La Land, they call it.
What are you training out there? What's going on?
Yeah, you know, this body isn't going to fix itself. I mean, it can fix itself, just not in the ways I'd want it to fix itself. So I'm out here working out, trying to get better every day, and I'm excited to get back to Iowa. Obviously, any chance that I get to go back there and see old faces, and it's just a great time for me to see everybody and live my best life in Iowa, because so many great things happen in the state of Iowa, let me tell you.
When you come back here and go to, like, let's say you're going to be in Ames, because you've got, we'll talk about everything going on this weekend. Like, where do you stay? Yeah. Do you get a hotel, or do you stay with, like, I'm just curious.
To be honest with you, the options are so endless. No,
yeah, I was going to say, like, you got a lot of people, though, I'm sure, like, who would let you shack up.
Yeah, no, I stay in a hotel because, obviously, I like to move as I please, and I don't want to disrupt anybody or be insensitive with coming in and out as I go and people's houses, which I'm sure they probably wouldn't mind. But I stay in a hotel, and I have a ton of people to see. So just being able to be free and move around with having a hotel is what works for me.
So we've got the big – is the basketball reunion that's coming up this weekend, right?
No, it's the second and the third.
Oh, okay. So that's next weekend. So you're going to be here for like 2 weeks then.
I'm going to be there for a while now, aren't I? But why wouldn't I want to be there? Iowa's the place to be.
No, I thought it was this weekend for some reason.
No. Don't say that. Steve Crome's going to be mad at you.
Well, the reason I said that, and this won't surprise you, is that I got a call from Coach Prohm wanting us to give it a little bit of a plug. Because he loves this reunion. Yeah. Coach Prohm's a big listener to the Old Man Game podcast, believe it or not.
Seriously. He is?
Yeah, I guess.
It's death, taxes, and Steve Prohm's basketball reunion. That's how it goes, right?
He loves this event, and he's actually done a really good – I remember the first year, I was like, man, like who – this guy is not – he has no ties with Iowa State, and he's coming here and trying to do – I didn't have a problem with it. I just didn't think it would be much of an event. And then I went to it for a couple of years, and it's like, man, that's really cool. Like, I've talked to some of the guys who aren't necessarily – they don't necessarily have their jerseys in the rafter, but, man, they really appreciate it. And getting together with all you guys, you kind of mix in generations. I think it's really cool. It's really grown on me to be one of my favorite deals.
Yeah, no, I think it's super cool that, you know, someone like Steve came in with, I don't think people realize the pressure and situation he had to walk into. Like, when you're like a new, or a coach coming into a new program, like usually if the program wasn't doing good, they need you to, you know, make it lively and make things happen again. He came into a situation where it's almost like he had to implement his ways and not mess it up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's done a great job of managing that and getting the most out of each team and implementing his own ways. Like, how cool is that? He has so much other stuff to worry about, recruits, his team, how he's going to get better. But yet he wants to take care of the guys from the program that really don't really have an influence or immediate influence on the program anymore because their eligibility is done. I think it's so cool that he's put his time into that. I mean, I think it shows a lot about him and his character and how much he cares about this university.
Well, he really does. Like, he views it, because I've talked at length with them about it before, he views it as, like, his responsibility as the head coach to take those guys under his wing, even in many cases, they're older than he is. But, like, I don't know, like when Tinsley was back a couple years ago.
Yeah, that was last year. That was so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I just remember watching Jamal Tinsley as a Pacer, you know what I mean, before I even knew about Iowa State. And it was just really cool. Like, that's a 10-plus year NBA veteran, like. It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, what did you think about that when you got to see him? I mean, I'm sure you hadn't seen him since he left Iowa State.
No,
you know?
I hadn't, and it just I don't know. It kind of shook me to the core, like how emotional he was stepping foot back into Hilton. Like he hadn't been, from what I understand, Jamal had not been. This is not a situation like you and Monte and Naz who come back all the time. Like from what I gathered, he had not been back to Hilton since he was done playing. And you think about a guy who he might be the best Cyclone ever, not necessarily like with lore, but like just with God-given ability. Like some of the things that he did as a player were just George, I think he's the best Cyclone basketball player I've ever seen. And like when he came back in there, and I remember interviewing him, and he couldn't get through a sentence without tearing up. Like it was really touching and really cool to see that guy kind of, I don't know if he had a problem, like the whole Larry Eustace deal, like there was a lot of like turmoil back then, right? But he comes back and I don't know, he felt appreciated, and you could see, like, the look. And I remember watching you and I think Monte interact with him, and it was just cool to see all those generations mixed together. And that was, for me, like, when it really hit me, like, how special of a deal that could be.
Yeah, no, I just think, like, people forget how special the place is when they leave. Obviously, when you're in college, you think about, oh, you know, how can I make money when I get out of here? And you forget how important, like, the natural love that you get at Iowa State is. And then when you come back and you slowly start to realize, like, this was the place where people cared about me, where they didn't want anything but my happiness or the best for me. And when you get back there, it just gives you a calming, you know, sense, and you're at peace with yourself. And I think that's why Jamal was so, you know, emotional. But I think him realizing that wanted him to tell us about his life experiences and kind of, like, drop some knowledge. I think the best thing is, like, so many people are doing so many different things, whether they're playing basketball or they're owner of a company or they work in insurance. And I think that they've gone through life experiences that us young guys who just graduated haven't gone through. So when you have someone that you can bounce questions off of or kind of relate to because they played at the same college as you and were given some of the same opportunities, I think it's beneficial for everybody. I mean, even the fans. Like, the fans, like, where would you ever get to see Jamal Tinsley and Monte Morris, two of the best point guards to ever? You know what I mean? And then you get to see them next to each other. I mean, that's a special moment for some fans, or most fans, because you would think you'd never get to see that.
I think they need to open that thing up one year and let some of the older guys mingle with the fans. I don't think you want to make it like a huge fan fest type deal, but I don't know, maybe open up Johnny's one night. I know they do that for all of you guys, but I do think the one thing I've noticed, George, just doing my job for, man, I've been around this for like 15 years now, but like I always feel bad. Like, it always hurts me to see, and I want to see what you think about this as a player and a former player. I don't think it's really impacted you, but I'm sure there are guys who you could think of that this relates to. And, like, you guys are like gods when you're there. And for the most part, unless you go on to have, like, a big professional career or you stay local for one reason or another, or you're a huge personality that can find a way to stay in the limelight, I don't want to say that these guys can be forgotten about, but you go from being like a god in a small town where you're the show, no professional sports in Iowa, Iowa and Iowa State are it, and then like you can kind of just drift off, and it's like the fan base that you gave so much for, I don't want to say they forget about you because that sounds really bad, but I do feel that way at sometimes, though. And that's why, do you feel like that at all? Like, do you see guys like that?
Well, here's the thing. It's like the community embraces the team that they love, right? And it's sad that, you know, every 4 years there's going to be a new guy at that position or that scholarship and, you know, that they're going to need to embrace. But the biggest thing that I learned is they're going to give you so much regardless of what you give back. But if you give back, you know, yourself, your personality, your time,
yeah,
that place will embrace you forever. I mean, there's never a time where I don't feel loved or I feel forgotten about. And I mean, I'm in a social media era, and we're texting and FaceTiming, so I can connect with these people, you know, all the time. You know, back then it was probably a little harder, you know, when, you know, you have a new telephone or it's tough to get your number around and there's no social media. But I think the biggest thing with Ames is you just got to give yourself to Ames because it's going to give itself to you without you doing anything. So I think you getting out in the community, smiling, showing face, doing the right thing, staying out of trouble, and overall having a good time, because I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned being around Iowa State people is they just know how to have a good time. And
yeah.
Nothing matters, you know what I mean, besides just having a good time, people taking care of each other, and you don't find that everywhere. And I've had to learn that somewhat the hard way, you know, with my career, but I always come back to Ames, and it kind of grounds me and gives me life.
Well, you always got it. I I think last year, the more I've had a chance to reflect on last year's Iowa State season, they didn't end the season very well. The regular season, they turned it around, obviously, in Kansas City. But I think that team's biggest problem, like, the fans were getting a little bit rowdy, a little ornery towards the end. And I don't think it was their basketball. I think it was exactly what you just spoke about. And I don't feel that team gave enough back to the fans. Guys like THT and Lindell, I wish them nothing but the best. I want them to go make $1 million and, you know, play a ton professionally and represent Iowa State. I think that they will. THT just got a contract with the Lakers, so that's great. But I think part of the reason we saw what we did at the end of last year, because I've heard people like, well, why are people all over this team? They're in the tournament. I think that there's more at stake. And I didn't see that team giving it back. And I think that this upcoming team is going to be totally different with Halliburton leading the way. He's a young man who reminds me so much of Naz, not necessarily as a player, just the way that they talk, the way that they act, a little bit like you, too. Condit, I think, is a lot like that. I think Jacobson will be. I think Jacobson was the one guy on that team last year that really popped for a lot of those fans for that specific reason. And I think this kid from Penn State, if he can get eligible, he can be one of those guys too. I don't know. I think what you said is so true, man. Like, the Bill Finley says it very well. Like, the, you know, the way Iowa State fans like live, you don't have a bunch of rich doctors and stuff like that at Hilton Coliseum. We're just not that type of a school. However, you do have a lot of blue collar farmers. You have a lot of, just blue collar folks who, you know, they die for loose balls in their own personal life. So they expect that their teams will do that as well, that they, you know, they spend a lot of money on supporting the teams.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think the biggest thing that people can't forget is these fans are going to support you through and through. And I think that's the best way that you put it, is like, if these are blue collar people, and they cheer for blue collar players. And I think, like I said before in other podcasts, it takes the right person to fit in at Iowa State. Nobody likes to feel like they're used. And when Iowa State feels like their resources are being used so you can kind of piggyback to something bigger or better, they're not going to like that. I think Iowa State runs on genuine passion, love, support, leadership, and relationships. And I learned that early on, and I embraced that, and it's been nothing but great to me. I can always know that I can go back to Ames, Iowa, and I'll be able to live the happiest life, because there's so much going on. There's so many great people. And it's home.
Okay, so we've got golf outing on Monday up there in Ames. Looking forward to that. And then we've got your camp coming up as well. You want to give those a plug real quick?
Yeah. So my basketball camp is going to be Sunday, July 28th.
Are we sold out? Are we sold out, or we got spots still?
I'll always make room. Okay. I'll bring in a Fisher Price and make another basket if we don't have enough. But, no, we have enough room, 9 to 4. Parents, bring your kids down. You can hang out, watch, take pictures. There's an auction. There'll be some of my items up there. So just come down and have a good time. You know, have your kid dropped off, play basketball for a day. Get to interact with me, which, I mean, I'm sure isn't that thrilling, but hopefully they'll enjoy it and maybe come back next year. And then the golf outing, which is obviously my favorite, is going to be Monday. Registration is, you can go to www.georgecamp.com and it will be on there. And you can register for my golf outing. It's going to be, I'm pretty sure it's from 11 to 4, and after there's a banquet. And it's going to be at Ames Golf and Country Club. And people can come by for the banquet at 4 or 5 o'clock if they want to. There's going to be a live auction there. I know there's a trip to Cabo.
Yeah, I saw
one of my jerseys. Dinner with some ISU coaching staff members. I think Coach Finley or Coach Prohm. And I know there's going to be tickets to football games being raffled off. So I think it's going to be great, and it's going to a great cause in YSS with helping the youth. So I'm real excited about that, and I really hope people can make it out.
So Bloom and I, we do a deal every summer. I think this is like the fourth or fifth summer we've done it. It's a podcast series where we just find like what we think are interesting Iowa State topics that we basically just go off for about an hour and a half on, and we just get really in depth on them. Tonight,
yeah,
we are doing one on the 2014-15 men's basketball season.
14-15.
So that was the year that Bryce was with you, Gear.
Junior year.
So when I bring, like, yeah, just that, say that season, like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind about that year?
Oh, that season was so crazy. That was probably the craziest season probably I've ever had, just because there was, I mean, I think to start the season, people were talking about Fred being a candidate to, how do I say this?
The Bulls. Well, the Bill Simmons tweeted it like that summer before, so everybody was kind of keeping an eye on it. Remember that?
Yeah, exactly. And so there was just a lot going on, and we had you know, come off a year where we made it to the Sweet 16. There was a lot expected out of us. Bryce, rest in peace, was a huge part of the puzzle coming in, and people had questions about him. We, Abdul had just gotten eligible. Then I think halfway through the year, we got Deontay Burton, right? Or
yes.
Or Jameel. It was Jameel.
You got Jameel. Deontay was the name.
We got Jameel, but when we got Jameel back, Deontay Burton had committed to us from Marquette. And I just think the craziest thing was, like, as easy as it may sound to, like, throw someone into the piece of the puzzle with, like, Jameel, it's tough. And Jameel did such a great job of coming in and implementing his will, and I think he was Defensive Player of the Year, wasn't he?
I don't remember, but that wouldn't surprise me.
I think he was, but it was just tough. I mean, God, there was so much friction with guys wanting to, you know, do their own thing and then try to come back together and play as a team, and we were really good. We lost a bunch of games probably that we shouldn't have lost, and there was just such an influx of emotion because I think at some point, people realize, like, oh, like, this is fun, this basketball thing, but I can go play professionally, like, if I do this for myself rather than doing it for the team, and that stuff takes care of itself. So there was a little bit of that.
That
was just tough. Like, I just remember the end of the year, like, obviously people know there's rumors. Obviously the locker room did get heated after we lost to UAB, and I'm sure some things were said that were regretted, but the one, like, thing that hurts the most is, like, I didn't absorb, like, that last year where Fred, you know, who obviously changed my life, changed my career, that was going to be the last time that, like, he was my coach, you know?
Yeah.
That's one thing that, like, I still to this day, I'm like, damn, like, you know, I had three great years, right? There was the best years of my life, but I didn't get to really absorb all of that, you know, and take it all in and cherish it, because that was special what we had, and it stinks that it ended the way it did. I wish we could have went out and won a national championship for coach, but I mean, that's just how life is, and he made a decision. I just wish that I would have cherished the moments that I had him as my coach a little bit more.
Yeah, you mentioned McKay. I'm just looked it up right now. He led you guys in rebounding the last 12 games of that season. Like, he was
he was a monster.
Yeah, he was a monster at the end. It is the tone when you just described that season, I think it is fitting for the whole thing, though. It was just so up and down. Like, it is a long time ago, but I was doing some prep for, again, this podcast that Bloom and I are going to do. And, like, you guys would, for instance, when Arkansas came to town, you remember that game, and Portis was playing for them. I mean, you guys killed them. You won that game by almost 20. Bryce had 27-6. And then I remember just at the beginning of the year, or actually it was that SEC game, and you lost to like a pretty, I don't know, was that a good South Carolina team? I don't even remember, but I remember you guys only scoring 60 points in it. And like, it just like was a very up and down season, which I think made it so tumultuous. And then the end, you had, yeah, I thought that the wheels were coming off of that team when you guys lost to Baylor at home, and then you lost on the road at Kansas State, and it just seemed like things really weren't clicking. You dropped to like 10-6 in the conference, and then you're down by like 20 to Oklahoma on Big Monday, and you guys made the miraculous comeback, and everything just kind of clicked after that. You went all the way to Kansas City, won, and then you guys are like a sexy Final Four pick, I remember, going into the tournament.
Yeah, you don't know how many times I've heard from people, oh, you screwed me that year, this, that, and the other. I'm like, yeah, I screwed myself, if you really want to think about it. But, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, we just had so many games where we looked so good. And I tell people this. I was like, when I meet someone and, like, I get to know you, I just want to be able to, when I see you, like, it's the same person every time.
Yeah.
And, like, the worst thing is, like, when you go and meet someone, and you get to know them, and it's like you don't know whether one day they're going to be really happy, really sad, really angry. It's like it was like that with our basketball team. You didn't know what we were getting. Were we going to play like a team? Were we going to be selfish? Were we going to be really good? Were we going to be just average? It was just, I'm sure it was frustrating for the fans, and it was frustrating for me because as a leader, like, you could never pinpoint what the problem was. Next thing you know, the season's over. And, you know, it's like every season is like a life. And, you know, you feel like you didn't take advantage of that life.
What do you remember about the Iowa game that year, mainly leading up to it, was another, like, crazy moment because it was BDJ, and I think Abdul was his, I want to say was his roommate in the whole loud music thing. And I just remember, like, going into that game, which you guys won in Iowa City by 15, Naz led you guys with 21 in that one. Nobody was talking about the game. Like, it was all about Bryce. You guys not having Bryce. You guys went from being like a 6 or 7 point favorite to like an even line in Vegas. And like, it was just I remember that, like, that whole thing pissed me off so much, though, just like with the media. I remember losing my mind on local radio because I actually thought there was some inadvertent racism going on with that, and like, it really bugged me to hear Iowa fans talking, and I remember losing it, and I became a villain on Twitter there for a while. But that was like, that was one of my favorite moments of your guys' career, though, like that Hoiberg era, because your guys, everybody was against you. You had all the reason in the world to be distracted, and then you came out and just kicked their ass.
That was amazing, but like I said, with the whole season being hectic, like, you just want to go through the season with the least amount of distractions ever, because just playing basketball is tough in of itself, you know?
Yeah.
And we had to go in, and I mean, I don't think we knew if he was playing until, like, the day before or the day of, and, you know, how are you prepping, and then you got to, it's a rivalry game, and then you just got to watch on TV, you're trying to get away from it, but then you see, like, all the stuff that's happening around your team and then people around the hotel. And it was just tough. That's why it felt so good when we all came together and just game time. We're like, we're going to get this done. We're going to make this happen. And we did that. And the best part is shutting Iowa fans up. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. I mean, obviously that was the Kiss game, and no better way to end my career at Carver Hawkeye than walking out with a Kiss and knowing that I never have to step foot back in there. And I did what we had to do and got out of there. And sayonara. It was a blast playing there. And just that victory was probably one of the top five ones that meant the most, because our backs were up against the wall.
Yeah.
They thought they were going to come in and kick our ass. And we just handed it to them on their home court. Like, we came into their house, took a beer out of the fridge. They didn't do anything, and we walked home.
Can you give me, we're like past the statute of like bro code. Like, what really happened at halftime of that UAB game? Wasn't there like a chair thrown? I've heard that like Bryce threw a chair.
No, he didn't throw a chair. I mean, he was obviously emotional, you know.
Because he wasn't playing much, right? Didn't Fred essentially?
No, he wasn't. So yeah. He was, you know, somewhat upset about the outcome of what had happened of the game and of the season. And, you know, people get emotional when their college career is over, especially when you may not have felt it went the way that you wanted it to. So people get emotional. So I would say it was a crazy realm of like emotions. Like a lot of people were upset, saying things like, "How the F did we let this happen? Like we didn't come out and we weren't prepared." And like, but at the end of the day, like it's over. You know what I mean? Like we can't like yell at each other now.
Yeah.
You know, and so
well, I thought what was interesting
no chair was thrown.
Oh, okay. Let's put that rumor to rest then.
Yeah, no chair was thrown, but harsh words were thrown around. Let's say that.
The thing about Bryce, I remember going into that game was like he went from like kind of being a non-factor at the end of the regular season, and I thought he really helped you guys in Kansas City. Like he was an ex because you won those first two games against Texas and Oklahoma by a combined like 4 points. And Bryce was huge in both of those games off the bench.
Yeah, him and Abdul were amazing.
All right, so what else do you got planned for? I won't bring down your mood anymore. I thought I'd add some synergy to the podcast network here because Bloom and I are going to do like an hour and a half on that season. So I thought I may as well just get you on the record about it. What else is planned when you get back? Anybody you're looking forward to seeing? You going to go hang out with Campbell at all? Anything like that?
You know, he sometimes pops up to the basketball facility and plays pickup with some of his coaches. So I look forward to running into him then.
Campbell plays pickup. Does he have his jump shot?
He's a hooper, man. Don't ever underestimate him. He can play.
Yeah, he loves basketball. Like it, he absolutely loves it. Like it, he watches every game. I know him and Steve are really close friends, but then he takes his daughter to all of the women's games. Like Campbell's a huge basketball fan. I'm surprised you don't hear from him more.
No, he's great. I mean, we obviously keep in contact. I have nothing but respect for him, and I admire what he's done with his life and with the program. I mean, that guy is just—he's a stud. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
It was interesting. I was at the Big 12's football media days last week. It's why we didn't get a podcast done, and I noticed like. He's a superstar even on a national level now. I've just never seen that with Iowa State football before. You know, like I've been around it for a really long time, and they've never been like even close to like the main event. But, man, you had national guys lining up. Like everybody wanted a piece of Campbell. And it was really a kind of a cool thing to see how big of a, you know, big of a rock star Iowa State has right now.
Yeah. It doesn't get any bigger than Matt Campbell right now, what he's done and his resume is second to none. I mean, pretty amazing what he came in and did. Took one season, took his losses, and then really just pushed these kids to be the best they could be, and now turned Iowa State into a powerhouse.
Well, fly safe, and I wanted to let the listeners know that we think we've got a way to start doing this podcast where we can do it on like Skype and a little more regular so I don't have to walk in or so I don't have to drive into the studio every time. And George, your schedule is going to start to get nuts. When do you like actually report to the Jazz and stuff? I know you still have some time, but like how does that NBA calendar work?
Yeah, probably not till after Labor Day.
Oh, okay.
This is when people have to start reporting. So after Labor Day, they'll want guys to start coming in and making it happen.
It's been a good offseason for you guys, though. I like your team.
Yeah, it's been great. I'm really excited. We have a lot of work to do when we get back and mend each other together, but it's going to be an exciting season, to say the least.
All right, buddy. We will see you in Ames.
All righty, brother. I'll see you there.
All right, pal.